And thank you, Chris, for the good message and song. I don't think I've heard that one before. I enjoyed that. And we ought to crown him king. He is the king eternal, the Bible says. So thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles. Let's talk about him this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at a few verses together, starting in about verse number 9. We'll talk about a phrase that we see here in the passage. The phrase is going to be this. I'll use it for a title this morning, unto the praise of his glory. It's kind of what Chris was singing about just a moment ago. Unto the praise of his glory. You'll see that phrase in verse 12. You'll see that phrase again in verse number 14. Ephesians 1, let's start reading about verse number 9. Ephesians 1, verse number 9. The Bible says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Aren't you glad that God's made known something to you? If you're in the family of God, you're in the us there. That's what it's talking about, the saved people. There wasn't Jewish people, really, for the most part, that lived at Ephesus. They were Ephesians. They were Gentiles for the most part. And these are people that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he's writing to them here. And this is a little later in Paul's life. He's in prison this time. This is after the book of Acts. That time period has already been covered. This is after the Acts history period that you read about in the Bible. So verse number 9 again, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now here's some things that sound fancy or sound complicated to some people. It's really not that bad. But verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when time is done being dispensed, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Christ is the one that all things are gathered in. And where are these all things located? Well, both. Two groups here, which are in heaven, that's a group, and which are on earth, that's a group, those two things, even in him. I've preached about that before. I'd like to go back and run the references right now, but we'll just keep going. Look at verse number 11. In whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Let's keep reading verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which, Holy Spirit of promise, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's us. That's even our physical body included there. Unto the praise of his glory. So I'll stop right there. There's that phrase, unto the praise of his glory. Let's spend just a few moments this morning kind of preaching about what was just sung a moment ago. And let's look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the answer this morning. Let's start it off by bowing our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time in your word. May you open the eyes of our understanding. And we know, Father, from your word, the way for our eyes of understanding to be opened is for our ears of hearing to be opened, for our hearts to be opened to thy truth. So, Father, may the truth be magnified this morning. May the Lord Jesus Christ, may we see him for who the Bible says he is. Father, we'll thank you for that. And we trust you for this time together to learn in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture says, unto the praise of his glory. Now, would it be easy to say, I mean, we can think about all the tornadoes and the turmoil that have been in the news lately, that the world really has a lot of problems and the world has more questions than answers. Would that be an accurate way to say it? Yeah, I would have to say yes. The world does have question after question after question, problem after problem, trouble after trouble. I'm so glad that God knew ahead of time what the world would be like, so he gave us an answer book. Amen? And so whenever you're perplexed by life in general, you can always go to the answer book. And the answer book is a blessing. You know that acrostic. I've mentioned it many times. I've received the email many times after I've mentioned this from the pulpit about how the little boy was telling his dad he understood what the Bible meant. And he said, what do you mean? He says, well, I learned today that the word Bible stands for B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving earth, right? Basic instruction before leaving earth. Well, God's given us an answer book. He's given us an instruction book. And yes, life in a sense is broken because we live in a broken world. We do. It's broke. It's broke. If you want to take its pulse, it's weak. If you want to look at its prognosis, it's sick. It's a sick place we live in, but aren't you glad that this is not the end all? This is not the culmination of things. God's got much better plans on the horizon. And isn't it a blessing to know that you can get in on all that God has for us in Jesus Christ? You can get in on all of it. How good it will be, let me say, how good it can be. It hasn't even entered into the mind of man how great it's going to be, by the way, the Bible tells us. But you can get all of that by simply being in Christ Jesus. And that's what this passage is really talking about. It's talking about God, who knows all, who in his foreknowledge, he understands every choice, basically, that can be made and every consequence that comes from every choice. And people get kind of superstitious and religious and spooky over stuff like that, but the Bible's pretty clear about it. The Bible helps us understand what it means to be unto the praise of his glory. So let's look at it for just a moment this morning. I'll do it as a matter of introduction, and I'll ask a couple questions, and we'll get a couple answers from the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. It says, having made known unto us. Now, there's a group there. When I wrote that verse out, studying it before, that two-letter word, us, I know we can make it stand for the U.S., but it's really, it means more than that. Us, I circled it. That's a group of people right there. And Paul's including himself in that group. He's including the people that got saved in Ephesus all these more than 1,500 years ago. He's including them in that group. You know, today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're included in that group. That's something to be thankful about, is it not? Something to say amen about right there. That you're in the us. So having made known unto us, he made known unto us something. What? The mystery of his will. Why is it a mystery? Well, it's because not everybody knows it. The revelation, the information hasn't always been there to know. It's been made known. And that's what the Scripture's done for us. It's made this information known. Verse number 11, look at it. I'll skip over verse 10. It says, in whom also we... So you got the us in verse 9, you got the we in verse 11, in whom also we, here's two things that we have done or that has been done for us, let's say it that way. Number one, we have obtained an inheritance, and then we can say we, skip over what I just said, being predestined, or let me say it correctly, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's a mouthful, but the we here has obtained something in Christ Jesus, and because we're in Christ Jesus, we have a predetermined destiny, right? You know the word predestination means? That's a scary word, and I know a lot of people really see that wrong. And there's a lot of places where they're talking about that in the wrong way today. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. I hadn't seen him in quite a few years. I think I saw him once about 3 or 4 years ago, but before that, it's been like 10 years since I saw him. And he was talking about some of his experiences as he moved off and went to a couple different churches. And how they would get together, and these folks, they would talk about, oh, I've been chosen. I've been chosen by God way back before the foundation of the world, that he chose me. I'm so special. He chose me. What, you know what they meant? He chose me over somebody else. That's what they meant. Okay? Now, that's not what the Bible teaches. Did you know that? God didn't way back when Chris was singing, way back in, you know, ages and ages and ages ago, things that we can't quite understand in our humanity, he didn't say, okay, I'll go down the list here. Let me find a pew here. Go down this list and, okay, thumbs up for that fella, thumbs down for that lady. Thumbs up for that fella, thumbs down for that lady. He didn't do that. He didn't, you know, put a check beside some people and put an X beside other people in red ink. He didn't do that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches this morning as we look at the Bible and see what it teaches. Now, religion will teach you that you've been chosen over somebody else, or, you know, you've been chosen to the exclusion of somebody else. And it's a good thing you're chosen, because then your child will be chosen if you're chosen, and, you know, and the chosen one and the chosen this. And, you know, it goes into all kinds of stuff, and it's unscriptural. It's man's faulty ideas. Let's say it that way. Man's faulty ideas, jumping to a conclusion. It's just like if you jump out of an airplane and you have a parachute on your back and you pull the cord and nothing happens. What do? You go to the reserve chute. That's not how we call it, right? Reserve is, well, whatever. We'll just say it's a reserve chute. You go, you know, you pull the cord for that. You know what happens if nothing happens then? You've just jumped to a conclusion. And it's not the fall that'll kill you. It's that sudden stop at the bottom, okay? that'll hurt your feelings in a little bit more, okay? We got to be careful about jumping to conclusions. Religion jumps to conclusions. Mankind jumps to conclusions. Why jump to a conclusion when we have God's conclusion about things? We have this book right here that gives us the answers to the questions that pop up in life. So let's look to the answers this morning. Here's the answer to the question. The answer to the question of who is predestinated. Who is the people whose destinies have been predetermined? Look at it in verse number 11. In whom also, here's the we, have obtained an inheritance. We're the ones that have been predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Look at it. Verse number 12. Here's the conclusion of things. The conclusion of things is that the us of verse 9 and the we of verse 11 are included in the we of verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We should be to the praise of his glory. Now, who's the we? Who first trusted in Christ? Now, do you see how you get in the we? Do you see how you get in the us? Do you see how you get in the group that Paul's in? It's by trusting in Christ. Not that you've been chosen or picked or had a check mark put beside your name way back billions upon eons ago, whatever that would be. That's not the answer. The answer is who in this earthly life has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Amen. Has everybody that's alive today, how many is it? Like almost like 7 billion now or something like that? Has everybody trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? The answer is no. Are they doing that because of that predetermined course that was set before they were ever born or thought of? No. It's because they've made a choice in this life whether to believe, whether to receive, or whether to reject. Here today, God knows the heart. I can make a list of everybody's name here in the auditorium, and I can put my check marks and my X's beside it if I want. Doesn't do a bit of good. It's between you and God. Have you received and believed, or have you rejected what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. That's the only question. So the answer is to the question, who's predestinated? Scary term. Whose destiny's predetermined? The answer is those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Boy, that's just so scriptural and so non-religious to me. I like it. I like it. It makes me smile. But here's the next question. Here's the follow-up question. How do you trust in Christ? Would God go about telling us how important it is to be in Christ Jesus? That this is what it means, that your future's predetermined, you've received something, you've obtained an inheritance? I could go to all the other passages that use the word, and there aren't that many, by the way. I could go to Romans 8, I could go to other places, and I could do a study, but that's not my point today. That's a good thing to do, but that's not my point today. My question is, does the Bible tell us how to trust in Christ? Because it seems to me, from what we read, it's very important to trust in Christ. It really has a big time bearing on our future, whether we've trusted in Christ or not. So now the question is, how do you trust in Christ? Well, I'm so glad that the same place that answered my first question will answer my second question. You go to the book, not to man, not to religion of man or commandments of man or traditions of men. No, but to the book that God wrote, the answer book. You know, they say that, and I guess somebody worked this out on hand a long time ago. I don't know if you use computers, but somewhere they ask, you know, what the middle verse of the Bible is, and it falls somewhere right there around Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, somewhere around there. And Psalm 18, verse 8, 118, did I say 18? 118, verse 8. You know what the verse says? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Well, maybe it falls in verse 9. So what's verse 9 say of Psalm 118? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's what it says. Doesn't matter if that man's got an exalted position or not. It's better to put confidence in the Lord. The way we put confidence in the Lord's by looking to his word, the only book that God ever wrote. So let's answer the question, how do you trust in Christ? Look at verse 13, please. Verse 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So I see a big, big emphasis here in the scripture put on truth. Truth in verse 13. We know what truth is, do we not? Do you know that the answer to all the world's problems would really be with believing the truth? Do you know there's so many lies that have been believed and acted upon for so long a time? You know, a lot of problems in my life have came from lies I've believed. It's hard to get over those sometimes. You know, a lot of the problems in your life have came from lies you've believed. Yeah, once you let that lie, that deception in, and once it begins to operate, it can open the door to all kinds of troubles, misconceptions, preconceived ideas, conclusions that you've jumped to, so to speak. The truth sets you free, the scripture says, or it makes you free. It actually says it makes you free, which is even better than being set free, right? Being made free. It makes you over again. Remakes what you thought. Remakes what you wrongly thought. The truth is so very important. You know, the Bible tells us that truth is a person. I've said this many times, but, you know, John 14:6 is a very familiar verse to us, is it not? Especially in these day and time that we live in, where truth is not made much of and lies are made much of. But John 14:6, Christ is answering a question, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no woman, no child, no nobody cometh unto the Father but by me. So the answer to the question is, whose truth? Well, we got an answer right here. Truth has a name. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is a person. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 13 again, it says, in whom ye also trusted, what? After. You had the ability to trust because ye heard the word of truth. It's the gospel of your salvation. Well, what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news about the truth. The good news about the truth that concerns everybody. Do you know that there's no one outside of the reach of the gospel? The gospel's good news for everybody that's alive today. If there's 7 billion on the face of this planet, the gospel is good news to everybody. It's the good news about the truth that concerns everybody alive today. Oh, the truth is wondrous. The truth is all-encompassing. It includes everybody. It's true for everybody. Oh, you can say, well, it's true for me, but I don't know if it's true for that fellow over there. Well, if you think that, then you're wrong. Or I think it's true for that fellow over there, but it's not really true for me. I was brought up differently. No, it's true for everybody. That's what the scripture tells us. Amen. The truth includes everybody. What a blessing that is. It's the good news that concerns everyone. By the way, can I just knock a hole through some lies that a lot of people believe? When it comes to the truth, do you understand that the truth includes everyone, but it doesn't involve a lot of the things that people say it involves? People say truth involves works, the works of religion. You know, the Bible says, this book of truth, this word of truth, it says, to him that worketh not, but believeth, to him that worketh not, but believeth. Now, boy, religion has a hard time standing up to that verse, does it not? Because religion will tell you to do this, do this, do that, do that. And then if you do it pretty good, maybe you'll get a check beside your name. Maybe you'll get a sticker or something, a smiley face. But make sure you do all these things. And just when you think you're getting to the end of this list, we'll add a few more things onto it. That's what religion does, ever changing, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But truth includes everybody, but it does not involve the works of religion. To him that worketh not, but believeth. Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. That'd be a good verse for you to think about sometimes, to mark. I could spend more time on it. Let me give you one other thing the truth is not involved in. I could give a lot of things. And this kind of is same song, second verse here, but the truth also does not involve water. Because so many people think the truth involves water. And that's part of the works of religion, by the way. The truth does not involve water. Let me give you a verse. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I don't have time for it to do it justice. But Colossians 1:20, The Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. So peace, would you say that mankind, not all mankind has peace with God? They don't. The Bible's very clear about that. But those that do have peace with God, you know how they got it? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ's cross. So how can that baptistry give me peace when the Bible says it was the blood of his cross that gives me peace? There's a song on our radio station. I like one of the lines. I think the name of the song is In Christ Alone. It says, if water could wash our sins away, why did Christ shed his blood that day? You ever thought about that? If water could wash our sins away, why did Christ shed his blood that day? That's a question that religion can't answer right there. No, the truth includes everybody, but it doesn't involve works and it doesn't involve water. Water is very necessary to life. I hope it's a part of our life. Everybody in here, I hope it's a part of your life already today and will be the rest of the day, all that kind of stuff. But it's not part of your eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way we have peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way we get in on the predestination of God's plan. But, you know, I will give you one thing the truth does involve. It does include. The truth does involve hearing. Hearing. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Amen. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The Bible's very clear. The answers are actually very clear, crystal clear. Yeah. It's man that complicates and muddies everything up. It's religion that tries to cast doubt on things and tries to deflect your attention to something that you shouldn't give attention to. No, the truth does involve hearing. So let me go on to the next part. The big question, I know I'm asking all kinds of questions and giving all kinds of answers, but the big question here that we're answering is, how do you trust in Christ? And the first answer in verse 13 is, you heard the word of truth. It also says, in whom ye also trusted, in verse number 12 and verse number 13. After ye heard, ye trusted. Is that what it says? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard. So you trusted. How'd you trust? Ye heard. What'd you hear? You heard the word of truth. It's the gospel of your salvation. It's good stuff right there, and it's repetitive. It helps us understand. In whom also after that ye believed. Believed. So you trusted in something. You believed in something. Let's don't ever get over how important it is to believe what God says, okay? Faith is believing God. Faith is everything. It's our foundation. It's what God has chosen. That's the way God wants us to approach him, believing him, okay? Believing him. So the next part of here that we're going to answer this question, how do you trust in Christ? It talks about it here in verse number 13. Trust, trust. The little boy in Sunday school was singing the song. And you know how kids get the song wrong sometimes when they're singing it? I bet there's still a few songs I have the words wrong because I sang them wrong when I was a little kid. He was singing that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. You know how he sang it? Trust and okay, for there's no other way. If you trust, it's okay. It's okay with God. I remember the story Sunday school teacher heard he was singing it wrong and started to correct him and then thought about it. And said, you know what? I'm just going to let him keep singing it that way. Trust and okay. If you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I tell you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay today. It's going to be okay tomorrow. It's going to be okay for all your tomorrows. It's trust and okay, for there's no other way. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If the whole world would look to the truth and trust it, the whole world would be saved. Amen? What a blessing to know how wonderful our Lord is. Trusting is so important. Committing into the care of another. People want to trust themselves. Well, I made a mess of my life, so I'm going to fix it. I sinned and I did all this, so I'm just going to go and make up for all the bad things I've done. I'm going to put my trust in myself. The Bible's very clear that the armor of flesh will fail you. And even if you've got better flesh than me or somebody else, did you know that the Bible says no flesh shall glory in his presence? You're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to stand in judgment before God. Let me just say it that way. You're not going to stand in judgment before God one day and he's going to say, wow, you're something else. Let me pat you on the back. You are special, and I'm just glad to have you on my side, fella. No, he's not going to do that. There ain't going to be no attaboys at the judgment seat of Christ. No, it's going to be, are you in Christ or are you not in Christ? It's really not going to be up for debate that day. Did you know that? Now, trusting is so important. Committing into the care of another. Is your soul in the care of another today? Or is it still in your care? Let me say it this way. Is your eternity, is your future in the care of another today? Or is it still in your care? Another definition of trust, according to the dictionary, is one in which confidence is placed. Where's your confidence today? Is it in yourself? Or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what we said about the middle verse of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Remember that. Trust the truth. That's the message of the scripture. Trust the truth. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it means to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? If I had time, I could look at a few other verses, but let me just reference them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, explains to us what the gospel is, what the good news is. Verses 3 and 4 gets right down to it. Paul says to the church at Corinth, to the believers there, when I came into town preaching, this is what he said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Here it is, just in a few words, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And as you find out about how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, you'll find out in that sacrificial death, he shed his blood. That was the offering. That was the atonement that God gave. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Can you stand before God one day and say, well, that didn't include me because I wasn't in that sinner bunch? I wasn't in the group that sinned? Do you feel good about that answer right now? Do you think you'll feel good about that answer on that day? Verse 4, "And that he was buried." So the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. "And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There's, in a few words, a summary of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death for our sins, his shed blood, his burial, his resurrection on the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God says is the work that he accepted on our behalf. Man goes about to work. Man goes about to help old ladies across the street. That's great. Old ladies need to cross the street sometimes. Man goes about to serve in a soup kitchen. Well, there's hungry people out there that don't have food, and they need to be able to eat. They need to have places to go where they can eat. That's a good thing. Man goes about to give offerings. That's a good thing. If you didn't have offerings, a place like this, a ministry like this, if it didn't have some money, it couldn't do what it does on days like today or days like Monday through Saturday either. It couldn't do it. It couldn't support missions around the world, where people go and give of their lives and leave where they were raised and where they were born and where they live and go to some people that they might not know, and they learn their language and they give their life to teaching and preaching and giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people. That's all good stuff. Giving offerings is great. But yet, that's not what the Bible says is a work that God accepts on behalf of your eternal soul. No, there's one work that God has accepted that takes us that were wrong, us that were far away, separated from God because of our sin, as the heavens are high, and as we're down here in southeastern United States, we're a long way from God. Well, our sins have made us a long way from God. And there's only one work that will bring us back to him, reconcile us, take away what's keeping us from being together. Fall of man, our participation in sin, all so much that we could say about that. God, it's like, we know what Jesus Christ did? It's like he put one hand in heaven, reached the other hand all the way down here to us, and he brought us back together. That's what Christ did. His finished work on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection. You got to trust the truth today. You got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust his finished work. I could go on if I had time in verse 13. After that, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Back in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I could talk about that, what that means. That's being secure, being sealed in Christ Jesus. He accomplished it. He's the one that put his stamp on it, his seal on it. That's important. That's more important, I guess, for people that lived in the old days than it is for us today. We don't understand that as much. But we have God's divine seal upon this transaction, amen? Upon this work that's been accepted in all of us that are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 15, I could talk some more about that. If we're saved, after that, there should be a difference. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. It ought to change the way we live. And one of the ways it changes the way we live, it changes the way we love. Oh man, before you're in Christ Jesus, your love is all about you. Oh, there's some others included in that, but that's because they're close to you or part of you or belong to you. But once Christ moves in, his love moves in, and that love extends to people you never thought you could love before. Love of the saints, love of the ain'ts. Love for everybody. It's God's love. Are you an ain't or a saint, by the way, this morning, anyway? Faith, hope, and charity is where God's taken us. Verse 18 talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see in a dark way, or has it been enlightened? Are your eyes wide open? Do you see what God has done? Is he bringing you to where? Are you allowing God to bring you to where the Bible says he's bringing you? Faith, hope, and charity. I could talk a lot about that, but my real theme this morning is to trust the truth. When I say trust the truth, I'm saying trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a couple things I'd like to conclude with. I thought, couldn't decide between both of them, so I'm going to give you both of them this morning, okay? Two stories I read in the past and looked up again this week. There's a fellow by the name of Oliver Cromwell. I meant to look up who he was because he sounds awful important. He was on a trip. He's an important fellow, and there was important business to be conducted, and he had his servant with him. But Oliver Cromwell was so concerned that the trip wouldn't go well that he tossed and turned all night. He couldn't sleep. His servant snored, slept, counted, you didn't have to count sheep, dreamed. Servant slept peacefully. And the question was asked, how come this important man that's supposed to have his needs looked to by the servant, how come he couldn't sleep and how come the servant could? And the servant answered the question basically like this, to his master, and he said, "Master, did not God live and rule before we were born?" And Oliver Cromwell said, "Yes, he did." He says, "Well, will not God rule after we're dead?" And Oliver Cromwell says, "Yes, he will." He says, "Well, then shouldn't we trust him in the time between?" Ever thought about it that way before? Oh, we can toss and turn, and we can moan and groan, and we can stress and fret. But God had this plan way before we were ever born. God has this plan, and he'll continue to make it happen after we're gone. We got to trust him in between. We got to trust him in between. There's a story about this sultan. I used to have this poster on my wall when I was a teenager called the Sultans of SWAT, but that was something different. That was NBA basketball players that could block shots. But anyway, there's a sultan. And this lady that was under in his kingdom came to him with her complaint, so to speak, or with her report, saying, "Sir, Lord, as I slept last evening, some thieves came in and took everything I had. They robbed me clean." And the sultan's response to this lady was, "Wherefore did you sleep?" And the lady gave a very intelligent answer. She said, "My lord, I slept because I thought you were ever awake. The story says that the Sultan was so pleased with her answer, understanding that he was the one that gave care to the ones in his kingdom, that he replaced everything that had been taken for her threefold. Gave her three times as much stuff as she lost. Do you know the Bible says in Psalm 121 verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He, if you're in Christ Jesus, remember, that's what we talked about. Who's the predestinated ones? Who's obtained the inheritance? Those that trusted in Christ. That's what the Bible said. If you're in Christ Jesus, you understand he that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know that Lord, God didn't have to sleep any last night? You understand that God doesn't have to sleep? You understand when we go to sleep, there's lights in the sky? God's lights are still on. He's not like me. He don't have to shut her down. He's ever awake. He's not the man upstairs. He's God. He's God. My question is, have you trusted the truth? God wrote this book. He's given us the truth. Is your trust, is your faith in what God has said in his word? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thank you for listening this morning. We'll have a time of invitation. Thank you for being here today. I know it's summertime. I know a lot of folks travel. And a lot of folks put attending church on the bottom of their list. But thank you for being here today. It's a blessing that you're here to worship together and hear the Holy Scripture. But now that we've heard it, could I say that there's a response in order? When God proclaims truth to you, you have a